today on Real Radio.
Now listen, everybody, this is so simple, it's offensive to some people. I don't want it to be offensive to you here at Calvary. I want you to enjoy this. And when I say enjoy, I want you to be confident. I want you to know that God saves. And God's grace is upon your life. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be, church? Is that simple?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 1, continues a series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs really stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. God's grace is first seen in Scripture way back in Genesis chapter 3. In the Garden of Eden, God willingly covered the sin of Adam and Eve instead of destroying them. God chose to deliver them by an act of His grace. God's grace is still available for us today, and it's simple in its meaning. It's God's unmerited favor and His undeserved blessings and kindness that cannot be earned. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the grace of God is salvation for all who call upon His name through faith alone. This is all that's necessary to receive eternal life. The simplicity of the gospel is an offense to some, but a joy to those who receive it. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Listen to this. You want simple? This is so simple, it's offensive. Acts 13:48. Believing in Christ is the evidence of election. Simple. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, the gospel, the response from the Jerusalem believers, when they heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been, what? Appointed to eternal life believed. What does that mean? It means that the ones who responded to the truth believed and they were glad. It doesn't mean that God said, you know what? Out of a group of 35, I pick 7 of you. The rest of you can all go to, anyway, it's, no, it's not His benevolent nature, church. Are you with me? He wants you in heaven. The grace of God, in a sense, is begging you. And here's the trick. Listen. See, Jack, it makes no sense if He's begging all of humanity. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Well, I don't understand. Just will you just put a sock in your mouth and believe Him at His word? Because all those who come to Him, He said, I will never turn you away. And there are those who say, right on, go me. That's awesome. I'll take that. And then there are those that say, there's got to be something to this. I don't know. How about if I do 10 things? And then after that, then you'll give me 20 more things to do. I'll get a little happy star on my card. And then I'll feel better about what you just offered as a free gift. That is oxymoron. You can't combine the two. You can't have a gift if you've earned something. What do I have to do to earn Christmas gifts? They should be given out of love. Think about it. The moment you go into earning it, it's no longer a gift. Salvation's a gift. The simplicity of the gospel is a stumbling block, and it's offensive. So it's benevolent nature. It's based upon God's sovereign election. And finally, today we'll look at this. What is the grace of God? It is salvation for all who call upon Him. And the theology of salvation in the Bible is that God's grace initiates a work in the life of the unsaved or the unconverted by reaching out to the man or the woman. We've been talking about that with the gospel of Jesus. And the response is the person acts with the call to God for salvation. The result is eternal life. This is what the Bible says in Romans 10. Now listen, everybody, this is so simple, it's offensive to some people. I don't want it to be offensive to you here at Calvary. I want you to enjoy this. And when I say enjoy, I want you to be confident. I want you to know that God saves. And God's grace is upon your life. And listen to this, Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be, church?
Saved.
Now keep it up on the screens, Bible open, listen. Is that simple?
Yes.
How then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, let's tell people. And how shall they preach unless they're sent? It's amazing today, missionaries. Now today we have electronic missionaries. You're an electronic missionary. I'm an electronic missionary now. Think about it, all around the world. Watch this verse on the screen, church. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, Jack, that's just, you just can't, Jack, you're just making it too simple. I understand your compassion and your passion. Here's the truth. I personally believe, because you're going to ask me later, so are you of free grace theology or are you of lordship salvation theology? Because people like to put people in boxes, right? I hate boxes. And I'm both. Because there's discussions on the internet about what I believe on this stuff. So just to make them even more crazy, when people try to pigeon people into holes, that never works right. Because you know what? Here's the motive behind people trying to define other people. They're trying to define them in or out of their club. And that's human wisdom and it's trash. Here's the deal. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number one, I do not believe. If you say, really? Okay. Hey, Lord, save me. I don't believe that you're saved. Because you're just looking at, you're just going, oh, I guess, yeah, I've got nothing else going on today. I guess I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Or, I want to be saved. I still want to sleep around town and be drunk and spend all my money in Vegas and rip people off. Or I just want to be a profound moralist and have everybody think I'm just, you know, remarkable. And so I'm going to, just to cover all my bases, I'm going to proclaim I believe in Jesus too. Do you not know people like that? It goes like this to your friends and family or your acquaintances. When you're talking to them, they say it this way, oh, I believe in God. Well, do you believe Jesus is Lord? Because the Bible says if you confess that Jesus is Lord, you can't do that without the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever had this happen? Oh, yeah, dude, Jesus is Lord. You're wondering, oh, wow, okay, well, I guess they are. No, they're not. God doesn't paint with one color. This is a technicolor statement. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It means that they mean it. It means that they know about the one whom they're calling upon. Even the thief on the cross knew enough about Jesus to believe that he was going to die, but Jesus was going to come back someday.
Amen.
You want it? Man, that's basic theology, is it not? What kind of a theologian was the thief on the cross? A little baby one. And his conclusion was, oh! In fact, he even rebuked his partner in crime. Don't you fear God? He said, looked around. Don't you fear God? We're being crucified for what we've done. He's done nothing wrong. He rebukes his buddy. And all he says was, this would never work at a crusade. It would never work in a church because we've messed it all up. The thief at the cross says to Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Are you listening to me? He said, will you remember? He wasn't even asking to be saved. He was yet declaring, you are going to die like us, and we're going to die and be dead. You, on the other hand, I can tell you're going to live after life, is all I can tell. You say, how do you know? Because he said, remember me when you come back. How many churches do you know say, well, if you'd like to be a member of our church, do you believe that Jesus is coming back? They don't ask that question. But that man asked, that man made that statement, and Jesus said, I'll take it. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen. That is absolutely awesome. So listen, slow down in your defining of things. The verse assumes you believe and know who the Lord is. When the Bible says, believe on the Lord and you shall be saved, it's not some whimsical decision you make out of convenience. It's to understand that he is who he is. And there is no way that you can get rid of your sin but without him. There is no way of getting to heaven but with him. And that verse in Romans 10 announces that we're to believe. Look at John 4:10. We're almost done. John 4:10. This is Jesus and the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan. That is, she's a half-breed, half Babylonian or Assyrian and half Hebrew. The Jews despised them, and they despised the Jews. What does Jesus do? To say that Jesus was a pure blood is an understatement. Jesus, the Jew. There's never been a Jew like Jesus since. Jesus, in John 4:10, answers and says to the woman, because, you know, you can read later that cute little dialogue that's going on between them. It's amazing how Jesus just unravels her world. And he says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, which is what he had just asked her, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water is another word for eternal life. Church, listen, Jesus said, all you would have to know is ask me for eternal life. Does that offend you? But Jack, doesn't she have to tithe or anything? No. I mean, certainly she has to do children's ministry for a while, right? No. Some sort of church attendance? No. See, listen, you and I immediately attribute all of the things that can be described about a believer, we make them rules for acceptance. Hey, listen, let's be honest. As Christians, should we serve? Of course. But even better than that, we don't serve because we should serve to get saved or make God happy, because we're already his. We serve because he served us. Okay, listen, we love because he first loved us. And he says, if you knew who was really talking to you right now, you would ask me for water that gives you eternal life. She freaked out. He says, just ask. Listen, I'm just going to ask you. Have you ever asked? John 6:47 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. You can see Jesus. He who believes in me has everlasting life. And he drops the microphone right there. Boom. And all the theologians began to argue about what he meant by that. And people are arguing about it today. And this is where Paul announces to the church at Ephesians. I know I'm giving you a lot of verses, but they're good for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5, 8 and 9. Even when we were dead in trespasses, you can't get more dead than that. Even when we were dead, we were so alienated from God because of our sins. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved, verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Boasting is an abomination to God. If you ever see a proud Christian, then he needs to be humbled by the Holy Spirit. Don't try to humble him yourself. That never works. But a Christian should never be proud. And the more God uses you as a believer or uses us as a church, the more humble we should become. Because when God is at work, he does things so spectacular, so unpredictable, that the ones who are being used understand this ain't me. This ain't us. This is none other than the hand of God. It's bizarro to see ministries that are arrogant or self-promoting. It's bizarre. I'm going to ask all of us to stand as we close in this together. And I want to read something to you, and you're going to think, what in the world? This is undoing everything you just said. Not at all. We'll put it on the screen so you can see it. But as we close, I'm just going to ask you to stand and look and listen. It's in John chapter 8, verse 30. That's where it begins. It's a remarkable chapter because Jesus there has already announced and will announce again that he is the I am. He announces to the crowd that he is the I am. Don't let anyone ever tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God. He claimed it over and over again. And in John chapter 8, he announced to them that he was the Ego Eimi, the name of God. Now listen to what happens. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Pay attention. Many believed. Then Jesus said to those Jews, see the capital J on Jews? That means Jewish religious leadership. That's not the people. It's the hierarchy, Judaism. Those Jews who believed him. Listen, be a forensic listener right now. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, that is the religious hierarchy, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Okay, number one, it said that these guys believe in him. Did we not just read that a moment ago? But they're resisting him. They're not listening, they're fighting. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you speak to kill, or you seek to kill me. You say, Jack, I thought they believed in him. Listen. Because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and as you do with what you have seen of your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus answered them and said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. Now they're denying his deity. I can't use the word, old English word, that they just called him, but the original language is a word that you know from old English. We're not. We have one father, God. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Notice then, those who truly believe love God and love the Son, Father and Son. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Isn't that interesting? Publicly, they were known to believe. Jesus knew they didn't believe. They claimed to believe, but they contended with him constantly. They actually denied his deity and insulted him in the process. Does your belief take you to faith in Jesus? That's the question for you today. And today, if you want Christ in your life, it's because God has been calling you. Father, we thank you for your truth, the word, your power, that it absolutely lays open our hearts. Such precious grace that today, Lord, those of us who would say yes to Jesus, yes, to you would say, even standing now, you would say in your heart, in your mind, you would say yes, Lord, whatever, yes, Lord. If it's in you today to say, Jesus, I'm yours, whatever you want. If it's in you today to say, Jesus, thank you so much. Then Christian, you go forth from this place today with joy, boldness, because of all that he has done for you. He requires nothing of you, but to believe in him, to love him. Today, you may be here at this moment and you're saying, God is speaking to my heart and I need to make a change. I need to make a break from the views I held walking into this building earlier, and I need to be different. Good. Come, join us. Come with us. Be with us in heaven. Come on the path in this journey with the Lord because he's calling you. Tell him now, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm gross. I've had nasty thoughts. I've had evil plans. I've had selfish ways. I've been alienated from you, God. I need you to cleanse me, to wash me. I've broken your commandments. God, help me. Oh, dear child of God to be now, let his grace wash over you. Let him wash you now. Those cries, those longings are coming from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Respond to him. Just say yes to him. Believe on him now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you today that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit. Oh, dear God in heaven, may we leave today as though our pockets are completely filled, our tummies stuffed, our mouths unable to hold anything more, and that would all be of your incredible grace. God, may we leave today completely and forevermore undefeated. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace in Jesus' name. Let's bless him. Let's thank him in this song.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have responded to the call of God so his gift of grace can bring you eternal life. Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's goodness and grace, as well as his plan for our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, when you get a chance, go over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our website, of course, and there's a very special tab there. It's the Know God tab. Know God. You know, if there's somebody in your life that you want to kind of explain your relationship with the Lord to, and you don't have the words, you don't have exactly what you want to say, tell that person to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, just get your phone out, get your tablet out, and go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Know God tab. It's a great resource. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, there is an easy way to get the Real Life devotion. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And click on the Devotions tab and get the Real Life Devotions sent right to your email. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Devotions tab, or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Get the Real Life Devotions once a week to take your walk with God to a deeper level. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.